You're listening to Vatican Radio. Catholic and Muslim experts in interreligious dialogue have issued a joint communique stressing their shared beliefs as a basis for peaceful coexistence and cooperation for the common good. The statement includes 8 points of convergence, including a call for basic human rights to be protected by law, a pledge of solidarity with all those in need, a rejection of all forms of proselytism, and a focus on the rights of young people to an education that is respectful of diversity. The communique came at the conclusion of a two-day meeting here in the Vatican entitled Shared Values in Social and Political Life, Christian and Muslim Perspectives. The encounter, which brought together delegates from a dozen different countries, was organised by the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and Jordan's Royal Institute for Interfaith Studies. On the concluding day, May 4th, participants met with Pope Francis, who stressed the importance of dialogue as a work of construction. At a time when we have become used to the destruction caused by wars, the Pope said, the work of dialogue, of rapprochement, always helps to build. Among the members of the Catholic delegation was the former Canadian ambassador to the Holy See, Anne Leahy, who currently teaches Catholic social thought at McGill University in Montreal. She talked to me about the shared vision that emerged from this fourth Catholic-Muslim colloquium.
There was a meeting of minds on the important values that Muslims and Christians, Catholics, share in terms of being good citizens while being believers, acting together for the common good. And there was an acknowledgement that there are some core values that we do share. We hear too much about what our differences are, but particularly now it's important to witness that there are the basic values that we share and can counter all the negativity. And in terms of being good citizens, which is a political and social value, and a believer, we can all work for the common good of a community. And as the communique also mentioned, we can work with persons of goodwill who do not profess a particular religion. So I think inclusivity was a hallmark here.
There's also a strong focus on not proselytizing, not trying to push your faith on other people.
It is interesting that indeed, and it came up strongly in presentations by the participants from the Royal Institute for Interfaith Studies, as well as from participants from the Catholic side. It certainly is a point of convergence that, as the communique says, in this context, our help to the poor and the needy should be offered out of compassion, and for the sake of God's favor, it should never be used to proselytize. No ifs and buts or conditionals. It's said very clearly.
The Royal Institute has a very strong reputation as an enlightened organisation, working very much to try and increase the dialogue amongst religions in Jordan, but also beyond throughout the wider Middle East region. How much influence does a statement like this have in the Muslim world, do you think?
Well, I hope it is carried at least through the participants to their wider community. The people around the table all have their links to their many two universities. They're in contact with students, with foundations who work on the humanitarian side. So at least there's a channel to bring this message.
You're talking about students, and the focus on young people is also very strongly stressed in this message, isn't
That's
it? About dialogue as an antidote to radicalization.
Yes, and more specifically, what is referred to here, proper education. Education in the right tenets of one's religion. Education as a citizen as well. Indeed, that is a point. It's made actually twice. In the second point, we believe in the humanizing and civilizing role of our religions when the followers adhere to their principles of worshiping God and loving and caring for the other. And indeed, later there is a mention that the youth have a right to proper education, and this is important, that prepares them to be good citizens, respectful of diversity.
Was there any talk in this meeting about how concretely this kind of goal can be pursued?
Well, this is not new. It is said when these meetings occur, but it bears repeating in schools, textbooks, in plural societies, how the other is represented, described in history, for example, history books, this is very important, and the way the other is characterized. And that is said again. So textbooks, curricula, and also in terms of respect of traditions of the other.
What are you personally taking back, as you say, your position as a university professor? Mm-hmm. How are you hoping to take forward the goals outlined in this document?
Well, you see, I teach at McGill University. In Canada, we have, as you know, quite a live issue with reasonable accommodation. We have people of different faith groups. And more recently, there's a focus because of the migrant crisis from Syria on how do we integrate or work with people who come from a Muslim background. And the first thing I want to tell them is that there is something else than the narrative of difficulties, of misunderstanding, of values that clash. I just spent 2 days with people from Iraq, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Bahrain, and there is a common ethical basis. It's not true that we are from different worlds and never the twain shall meet. We also, it may not be that reflected in the communique, but there was a presentation by someone who works with, he's the president of the Humanitarian Forum that's based in the UK, but Muslim charitable organizations that work, for example, with CAFOD on certain projects. And the way they go about it, they identify where they can make progress, work together, and where it would not be fruitful, it would not be understood. So they're very careful how to do this so that they can, again, witness that something can be done positively. So I will talk about that because not enough is said about that.
Can you expand on that a little bit about the positive and the negative areas in particular?
It's something that occurs even, let's say, in the larger macro analysis of development project. If you go into an area, you need absolutely that the local people will be fully stakeholders, that they will be part of whatever is being designed, and that they will, of course, take responsibility for it when the people who came from outside came in. Now, if there is not that correspondence, if there's not a full acceptance or trust, there's no point in going in there because you might do something for 1 year or two, but after that, what's going to happen?
Pope Francis met with the group, didn't he, with participants
yes.
in the meeting, and obviously supported very strongly the work of dialogue, this bridge building that he has emphasised so many times already throughout his pontificate. What else would you like to see, perhaps, from the Vatican side in terms of pursuing this dialogue, furthering this contact, this very fruitful contact with the Muslim world?
Well, it has to continue, for sure, and it has to go through then the local churches. It has to be the bishops locally. You have to move into concrete situations. I mean, it's generality that I'm stating, but this is what needs to happen, in fact, on both sides. And again, for example, as part of our delegation this time, there was the Bishop of Oran in Algeria. So he brings a local perspective. He has specific ideas. A few, you know, sharing of that sort of experience has to continue for sure and perhaps widened, but at the local level. At the top, let's say in Rome, yes, or in Amman or in Cairo, it has to be seen to happen, but then it has to be picked up locally. That's the challenge.
And that is a huge challenge, isn't
yes.
it, in countries like Egypt or Algeria
yeah.
or many
yeah.
of these Middle Eastern countries.
Yes. Yes.
How hopeful are you that this will bear fruit?
I am hopeful because there's determination. I mean, the situation is bad enough that I think there's a realization that, again, those who know differently have a responsibility to let it be known. You know, the common good exists. People can relate to that, in fact, whether they believe or not. But we are all rational people. And the Amman Declaration actually says this, that the prince reminded us of the Amman Declaration of 2004. That's a message also you asked me earlier that I want to emphasize, that from the Muslim point of view, there is also not generally accepted, but some enlightened people do accept the role of reason, adapting to one's current socio-political circumstances. On that ground, reason and faith, we have definitely a shared value.